Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello everybody out there. As you well know, you're in the second hour of Blood River Radio. And I tell you, do we have it hot and burning tonight, man. We've got two Champ of the Stud Hosses running this show tonight. I'm just bringing them in and out of the breaks. I'm really, really, really enjoying them. They are both super educated and super smart. So with that, I'm going to shut up. And Jim Roselli is going to take off on a subject he told me and Gene during the break that he wanted to talk about. So go ahead, Jim. Tell the audience about this travesty out there.
Well, I just want to mention, like up here, you know, again, I got to deal with all this nonsense up here. And, you know, we have this young girl, 16-year-old girl, lives a couple towns away from me. And supposedly she committed suicide. Okay, she's a black girl. And they found her hung on a tree. Okay, hung on a tree with her belt. Okay, so now they're all working. They're trying to work this into she was hung by somebody. You know, it was done on purpose. Someone hung her, and of course, you know, they want to make it look like it's a racist thing and tie it in with, you know, probably white people. But they don't have any information to do it. But this, they're working with the DA, and they're really mad at the DA because the DA hasn't come up with anything to show that this girl was hung by anyone. They think she committed suicide. I think what happened here, they think she had a fight with her friends. She had friends, and they had a fight. She had a fight with them, or whatever happened, and something happened, and she maybe, I don't know, was distressed and she hung herself. But they want to make it look like she was hung, and I'm sure they looking for white people in the area to blame it on. And this is the way it is up here. You know, anything you could blame a white person on. I mean, we used to get my brother and I, okay, my brother and I, you know, because we did, you know, cable TV shows, and we were very popular up here. And, you know, my brother and I used to expose illegal immigration on the TV and everything else. Anything that would happen to a Brazilian immigrant, we'd get blamed for, okay? We would get blamed for. Like this woman, Brazilian woman, someone threw a rock through her window, and they blamed it on us. And I'm saying to myself, I don't even know where this woman lives, and I was blamed for throwing the rock through her window. But again, this is just how racism is. You got to blame the whites. Whites get blamed for everything. Well, Story of my life.
It's another one of these racial hoaxes that we have that pop up constantly across the country, like Twana Brawley in New York and the Duke lacrosse team in North Carolina. And then who was the guy, Smollett in Chicago, that hired two guys to beat him up and say he was attacked by people in a Trump cap. And then after it's exposed as a hoax, the news media never comes back and say, well, we're sorry, we gave you some false information, yeah, but that's the best we could do at the time. They just shut up and go on to another story about the Kardashians or whatever else, and they never retract anything that they put out there. It's just sickening, the nonsense that we get out of the news media. What I would like to get some information from you and let our audience know something about, you've done a lot of historical research. And that's probably why you're hated as much as I am, that you base your information on factual history. And you did a lot of information on Ernst Sundell and David Irving and what they uncovered about factual history, about what actually happened during World War II. So if you could go ahead and give us some of that information, I'm sure our listeners would be fascinated to hear what kind of research you've been working on.
Well, Gene,
he also interviewed Robert Forreston, who's, I think, Jim, isn't Robert Forreston, and he's supposed to be the granddaddy of all as far as knowledge.
Well, he was probably a granddaddy of it, yes, Forreston. But he's dead. I mean, all these men are dead now. The only person that I have relationship now with is Fred Lucher and Grandma Rudolph. I know. you know, people like that. But in regards to Zundel, you know, he was my mentor in regards to Holocaust revisionism and really red-pilling me about, you know, what's going on with World War II, Holocaust revisionism, the Jews, what happened really in World War II. Now, David Irving, on the other hand, he's not a revisionist. I just want to let you know. David Irving is not a revisionist. He's a World War II historian. All right, he only jumped on the revisionist bandwagon when Zundel and Fred Lucher got involved with, you know, his case, and he only jumped on it for the publicity. This is my opinion. I'm just letting you know, okay? Because he bailed after, because Irving today kind of gives, he doesn't stand up. He's not a hardcore revisionist. He's a World War II revisionist, but he's not a Holocaust revisionist. And people have to understand there's a big difference, because you can believe in Holocaust, you can believe in World War II revisionism and try to straighten things out with what happened with World War II. But if you don't get it straightened out with the Holocaust, then you got a problem. And David Irving has capitulated. He's gone back. He thinks that some people have been killed in gas chambers. He thinks that a few million people were killed in Treblinka, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe any of that nonsense. There were either gas chambers or there weren't. You can't be a little pregnant, okay? You can't be a little pregnant. You either use gas chambers to kill Jews or you didn't. And there were no gas chambers in any of these camps. So David Irving is completely wrong. But the only reason why he's given in is because he makes money and lives on books. He makes money selling books. Okay? He has to kind of water down his message, and I don't buy it. Okay? I don't buy it at all. So David Irving, since probably his Lipstadt trial in around 2000, 2002, 2004, or whatever, he's bailed. He's really, I don't consider him, in fact, I try to interview him. He will not interview with me, okay? Because you know why? Because I'm going to ask him the hard questions. I'm going to ask him, David Irving, why are you saying 2 or 3 million people died in Treblinka or whatever you want to, nonsense, in the Reinhard camps? You know, why? Because there were no gas chambers there. How could you come up with these figures? I mean, how's he going to answer me? I mean, he's not going to have any answer. So that's why I don't look at David Irving as a revisionist today. But Zundel, you know, he was down, you know, till the end. He stood firm to the end. And, you know, it's sad he's dead. But, and that's another thing, too. We're trying to work on getting, you know, we're trying to work on getting his legacy from down in Tennessee, actually, where he was living last. And he was living in Pigeon Forge, I guess.
Pigeon
it was.
Pigeon Forge, that's up in East Tennessee near Gatlinburg.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Fred Lucher and I were trying to work on getting all his archives, all his information that he had stored in that place. And I just don't know where it's going yet, because we haven't gotten in touch with the son who was Zundel's wife's son. We haven't got in touch with him to see if we can accumulate all this legacy of the revisionist movement down there. So that's something we're going to be working on in the future. Fred hasn't got in touch with it, but I know he's been in touch with Eddie, and hopefully we can work with you guys down there to get you know some of you folks down there to help us out, because we live so far away. I mean, it's just impossible for us to get around down there to do this. But if we can have some people, when we need to do it, if we can do it, I don't want to put the cart before the horse yet. But this is what we're working on, to see if we can get the Zundel archives and everything he has relating to that, because that is very important information for what happened at his trial, because his trial exposed the whole Holocaust. I mean, people have to understand that. The Holocaust of the 6 million Jews and being killed in gas chambers and all this nonsense all stems on Urs Zundel, and he has all that information. I mean, it's all out there anyway in regards to videos and information. But, I mean, you know, we want to really get the hardcore, stuff that he had, so that we can show people this information. And this is what we're trying to work on, you know, as we're going on here.
Okay, Jim, how about doing me a favor and our listeners a favor? when we get in a discussion with somebody and we say, you know, the numbers about the people that died in these work camps is greatly inflated. There weren't gas chambers. They didn't do that. They died of starvation or cholera or whatever they had there. Yeah, a lot of people died, but, you know, a lot of German civilians died because the Allies bombed the railroads and the highways and everything else and carpet bombed the civilians. So, you know, they weren't any better off than the German civilians were. Okay. And these people come back and say, oh, the 6 million, oh, the 6 million, oh, the 6 million. Where do you go for your information, and how do you refute that claim that they were 6 million and these were all these gas chambers? I know people, there are people that have done research in these buildings and things, and I want you to give our listeners the detailed information about that to refute that argument about the gas chamber. So I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. It's very simple. I don't make this complicated when I talk about the Holocaust. First of all, there was only approximately 4 million Jews under the reign of the Germans during that time period. There was only around 4 million of them. Okay? So If they all were put in the camps, where did 6 million come from? I mean, you got 4 million. That was the amount of them. Okay, there weren't that many Jews in Germany. There was only around 200,000 Jews in Germany at the time. Most of the Jews left. Hitler gave the Jews the opportunity to leave, and most of them left before the war. So there weren't that many there.
Do not forget what you're talking about. I'm sure you won't, but we got to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. We're going right back to Jim. People, you're listening to Jim Rosoli and Gene Andrews, and I'm Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and these two guys are tearing it up. Be right back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
Dear people, man, this show tonight is really great. It's really a barn burner. Without further ado, we're going to go right back to Mr. Jim Rosoli. The expert, man, he is the expert on the Holocaust, the experts. Go ahead, Jim. Continue on what you're talking about.
Well, I just want to say that, again, a lot of people, you know, they throw these figures around in numbers. I hate high numbers because, you know, 6 million, 10 million or whatever. I mean, they actually say 11 million people died in the Holocaust because they say 6 million Jews died and 5 million, you know, goys okay, you know, Gentiles. But the only reason why they throw the 5 million is because they just want to, you know, make it look good for the Gentiles to say, well, we're not leaving you out either. But there weren't that many Jews in Europe at the time. I mean, before World War II, okay, there was approximately 15 million, let's say, you know, 300,000 Jews in the world. After World War II, there was approximately 15,700,000 Jews. I'm just giving you approximate figures. Okay, so if 6 million died, how do you have more Jews alive at the end of the war than in the beginning of the war? It makes no sense. So they're just lying to you about these numbers of Jews. And like I said, most of the Jews left. See, Hitler, what happened is, they gave the Jews the opportunity to leave. They said, look it, you're out of here. We want you out of here. Just get out and take your money, take everything and get out. And they didn't, you know, a lot of the rich ones now. See, here's the problem. The rich ones had the opportunity to leave, you know, and they did. A lot of the rich ones left. But the poorer Jews had to stay there. But there still weren't that many of them. OK, so when Hitler started, you know, putting them in the camps, he had to put them all in the camp, or most of them, except the ones that were loyal to Germany. There were, you know, Jews who were loyal to Germany and who weren't put in camps. Only the ones who were considered a threat, you know, a threat like communist Jews. 80% of the Jews were communist. So we had to put them in the camps. So that's how it was. And my estimate and my research that I've done, I figure out that there's probably about, hold on here. There was probably about 500,000 people that died in the camp system. Only 500,000. And half
Jim,
of them.
Jim, we have a caller. Would you like to take a question from a caller, Jim?
Yeah, I can do it. But let me. I just may finish this one.
Yeah,
point.
Go ahead. I just want to remind you.
Sure. There was probably about 500,000 people that died during the Holocaust in the camps, and half of them might have been Jews. You're only talking a few hundred thousand people that died, and I'm talking all deaths. Okay, I mean, it's not that many, but they may, it's just like the slave trade. How many people were in the slave trade? 10 million, 20 million. I mean, I don't buy these figures. Okay, I don't buy them. Figures. Too many figures, you know, too high. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's my view on figures of how many people died in the camps. And again, the Jews, more Germans died than Jews. Way more. Millions of Germans died compared to hundreds of thousands of Jews.
Would you anyway, Jim, you ready to take a caller? We have a guy who wants to ask you some questions. Go ahead, Jay. Bring the caller on, if you would, brother.
Hello, Ed.
Okay, it's Mr. Buddy. Oh, Mr. Buddy. How you doing, Mr. Buddy?
Doing mighty fine. You got a wonderful program, very informative. I wish the whole world was listening to it. And maybe we could educate some people, but I had one little thing I wanted to point out on this so-called Holocaust and how many people died and so forth. And you all have pointed out some tremendous conflicts in real numbers. And there's one thing that adds to this thing that shows it's a hoax is, as the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And I guarantee you, if it wasn't for reparations, there would have been no charge of a Holocaust by the Jews. Now, here's something to think about. With all the Jews y'all have pointed out, or the lack of Jews in various places, there were over 3 million Jew survivors of the Holocaust. Where in the world did they come from? If we killed, or if 6 million died in the gas chambers.
That's right. Yeah, it's actually more than that now. There's probably there's over 4 million. And that's a good point you brought that up. I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to bring it up. The reparations situation is a big problem for them because if 4 million people survived to collect reparations, then who died? Okay, I mean, that's a lot of people to survive. Okay. I mean, that's, I mean, really? But see, here's what we have here now. It's either these people are lying that they were there, which a lot of them weren't even there, but they are lying, I think. So these people are lying to say they were there to get their money. Okay. I mean, or the numbers don't mean anything. I mean, they're stuck either way. They're caught in a lie either way, by being surviving, or by collecting reparations, or you know, saying so many died. They're sunk because there weren't that many, you know, that died in the camps, and they're full of baloney in what they say. But they keep hitting you with the 6 million, 6 million, 6 million, and that's the way it is. What are you gonna do?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Buddy.
You know, now that I think at this day, there approximately, the last figure I heard, there was still 300,000 that have lived this long. They must have been, I don't know when they were born, 1980, I guess. But then some years back, the Jews were trying to get reparations continued for the descendants of the survivors.
Right. Yeah, so they're going to continue that.
It goes back to this thing. It's all about money, period.
Right.
And there were three well-known writings that covered just about all of World War II, especially the European theater. One was De Gaulle. The other one was the goofball Eisenhower, and that drunk called Churchill.
Yep.
And there's been a recently discovered manuscript put into a book by Herbert Hoover. They all wrote extensively about World War II, and not one of those four mentions a Holocaust.
That's
not
right.
One
That's
of
right.
them.
1,500 pages they wrote. 1,500 pages, and not nothing about a Holocaust. I mean, there's a problem there, don't you think?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It just came up something later as a way to get money out of Germany. So
right.
With that, I'll get back on the line, listen to you on the radio. I appreciate you taking my call.
Good question.
God bless
you,
Mr. Buddy. Thank you so much for calling in. Mr. Buddy's one of our biggest supporters and one of our most revered brothers. He's our older brother. He's a senior.
Well, he had great questions. He had really good questions because that reparations, he made a great point, okay? It's all about money. See, I don't really get into the money aspect of it, but since he brought it up, since I'm here, see, they figured out at the end of the war, think about it. If you had only 200,000 Jews that died in the war, how much money are you going to get for that? Not much. But if you start bringing in the figures now, 1 million, 2 million, now we're coming up to 6 million now. Wow, now it becomes a little bit more, sweetens up the pot here. Now we can get more money. And this has turned into a, I would think, a $1 trillion industry. Okay?
Yes.
It's all about money. Absolutely right. And that's why the Jews can't let it go. Because if they let it go, they're going to be exposed as the biggest money scam ever in the world. It is the biggest. Forget about anything else that's ever happened. The Holocaust is the biggest. There's nothing that comes close to it. They have scammed us every which way. Israel gets $13 billion or more a year because of all of this. All of this happened because of the Holocaust. I mean, this is ridiculous. So it's trillion dollars, I would imagine, when you add up all the Holocaust museums, you add up all the things that they've done. I mean, it just goes on and never ends. The never-ending money pit of the Jews sucking the money out of the goy. Unbelievable.
Jim, there's one issue that I have said many, many times to get rid of this holo hoax nonsense once and for all. If all of this were true, then why do these countries in Europe have to have laws that throw people in jail for asking questions based on historical fact?
That's right.
Hold on to that question. Guys, we've got to go for a quick break. And Gene, we'll get Gene to repeat that question as soon as we come back from this break. Hold on, people. You're with Gene Andrews and Jim Rizzoli. Be right back.
exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden has spoken with the leaders of Israel and Palestine. In a statement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he spoke to President Biden about the latest developments in the Middle East as Israel and Gaza continue to escalate with shelling and air attacks. Biden also spoke with Palestinian President Abbas. The Associated Press said their headquarters were destroyed during an Israeli airstrike on a building after people were told to evacuate. Palestinian authorities say over 130 people have died. Mediation efforts are underway. The U.S. envoy is now on the ground meeting with Palestinians and Israelis separately. Egypt is also working to de-escalate the intense fighting. On Friday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the loss of life was tragic and horrific to watch. This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regard to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of the Epoch Times and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
More than 13,000 gas stations in the East still don't have any gas, according to GasBuddy. A week ago, a cyber attack took out the Colonial Pipeline, and stations in the East began running out. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts tells Fox News it's critical for America to maintain its energy independence.
Everything that undermines our energy independence, like canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, pushing the Green New Deal, all these things is going to make us more vulnerable. And it was one of the things that was a strength under the last administration that we were starting to become a net exporter of petroleum products.
Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said the gas supply should return in the next few days. A former agent with Customs and Border Protection could be looking at up to 10 years in federal prison. According to federal court documents, Rhonda Lee Walker has pleaded guilty to illegally bringing a Mexican woman to her home to work as a housekeeper and a nanny. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, welcome back to Blood River Radio. Man, what a hell of a show we've got going on tonight. I'm Howard Byrne. We have another surprise. Guess who called in? We called the Chief Kahuna himself, Sam Bushman, none other than Sam Bushman, the man that owns Liberty News Radio. We had to be nice to him because he syndicates our show. He syndicates about, 50 other shows on Liberty News Radio. He has his own show, Liberty Roundtable. And the dude, he's a little bit of a crazy side like me. He's been chasing the FBI around like we're chasing a tiger's tail. Anyway, go ahead, Sam. Tell us what the heck's going on out there, buddy.
Do you feel lucky, punk? I like that intro, by the way. I think it's fantastic. Hey, anyway, yeah, we were chasing the FBI around, man. We saw their truck, and we tried to follow them, and we found their radio or their networks up on the internet and everything else, man. They were trying to lay low, and we even talked to some sheriffs about the FBI, and the FBI has checked in a couple of days ago with them and everything else. And so all I can tell you is we have a message for the FBI, and that is obey the law, just like everybody else. You work for us. Don't forget it. Is the point. And we came yesterday to an incredible rally in a tiny town called Battle Mountain, Nevada. And it's in a place called Lander County. Lander County is a county of about 7,000 people. But this wonderful county decided they wanted to become a constitutional county. And so they put forward a constitutional initiative. Their five county commissioners signed it, and the county manager. The DA is on board. The sheriff's on board. And these people not only got all that done, then they came to us. When I say us, I mean Richard Mack, president of, and myself, operations manager of the CSPOA. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, to become a lifetime member. I highly recommend you do so because we're making a difference all over the country. And they came to us and they said, you know what, we want to become a constitutional county. And so we're like, okay, so you want your county commissioners to join and everything else and be members? No, 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 we want to be a county that signs up as a county, and we want to be a constitutional county. Well, we've never had that before. CSPOA has been around more than 10 years, and we never really had a county sign up. There's 3,000 counties in America, but these people were insistent. We put together a plan for them, and they joined and are a county member of the CSPOA. Now, that is just tremendous news, but, man, it gets better than that. So we start working with these guys. Now they're working on a chain of connected counties in Nevada that want to become constitutional counties. We're helping them with that. So we came to this event today in Lander County at a park outside. It was raining, but nobody cared. And we had a series of speakers, and Richard Mack, the president of the CSPOA, was able to present to them a CSPOA plaque as the first county member of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I mean, it is just tremendous. So we did that. We had a bunch of speakers. I would estimate 1,200 to 1,500 people showed up at this event in this tiny county. People came from all over the place, man. California, all over Nevada, all kinds of states from the east. There was a lot of people there, and they were on fire for the sacred cause of liberty. So it was raining, but nobody cared. And they had food trucks and a huge outdoor rally, country music, praising and appreciating the veterans for their work, talking about constitutional issues. They had peace officers that were there, that were sheriff's deputies and cops. Everybody was mellow. There was zero protesters. It was a day to remember. Now, it gets better than that, if I can continue.
Go ahead,
so check
Sam.
This out. Not only did we have this tremendous rally with over 1,200 people in the rain, everybody was yelling and screaming for liberty. I got the chance to speak, and I called out critical race theory as one of the great lies in America. Sheriff Richard Mack spoke, did a stellar job as well. Many other speakers spoke, but here's the coolest part of it all. There is a bus tour that is taking place right now, and this bus tour is called Arise USA. And the Arise USA bus tour is crisscrossing the country all summer long, talking about celebrating liberty. Well, the first stop on this major tour, this kickoff, was at this rally. So there was two big buses, like I'm talking full, like touring buses, like a rock band would use kind of buses. And they literally have one of the buses. You know how they wrap vehicles, right, with all these signs and stuff like that? They wrap the bus as a constitutional sheriff's and peace officers association bus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to cry when I see this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, this bus rolling down the road, CSPOA.org, let's take America back one sheriff at a time, America rising. This is happening all across the United States. It's Arise USA. And we're going to start to keep up with the leaders of this. There's two guys that put this bus tour together. Let's see, what is it, David? Robert David Steele is one of them, and he is touring the country. He's got a radio show. He's well-known, and he is crisscrossing the country with this message. And I'm telling you now, crowds are coming out by the thousands. I've been in this movement for almost 30 years, and I'm telling you, I have never seen such a sea change in the country as I am starting to see right now. We literally had sheriffs and sheriff's deputies, and county commissioners, and I mean the list goes on and on and on, who wanted to listen to we the people. I've never seen this before in my life. Usually they want us to sit down and shut up, and they want to come in and talk and then leave, right? No, no, no.
That's right.
These county commissioners, and these deputies and these sheriffs were listening to us on the Arise USA kickoff bus tour at the Celebrate Liberty Rally in this tiny county in Nevada, I'm telling you, from small things, great things happen, Eddie. And there, my friend, is my report.
Sam, that is unbelievable. You know what? No wonder that you know what? Probably the FBI is even going to get intimidated if it's that catching on that like that, like a it's catching on. It sounds like it's catching on like a prairie fire. No wonder my money is on y'all. I bet you the FBI is probably starting to get intimidated right now because they can't.
I'm
face
telling
that
you
many
right
people.
Now, we are setting brush fires of freedom all over the country, buddy, and it's happening now. And there's too many of us. By our greater numbers, shall we have peace? And shall we have success?
Well, that sounds like a real, that's something we can hang our head on. It's practical. It's sensible. I pray to God it continues to work. Sam, thank you so much for bringing that on our show tonight and keeping us informed what's going on. And if anything, keep us informed if anything else happens tonight. It's off the scale.
Last point is if you go to the CSPOA.org, you can sign up and become a member and be part of the solutions today. But you can also see the bus tour. Richard Mack will be popping in and out of the bus tour all summer long, meeting and greeting with people across the country. And that bus tour schedule and where they're going to be, when, and et cetera, is on the website, cspoa.org. Spread the word, man.
Sure will. God bless you, Sam. Thank you for bringing that into us, brother. Thank you so much tonight.
Talk to
Thank
you soon, you, guys. Buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
People, like I say, that was Sam Bushman. He's the one that syndicates our show. He's the owner and founder of Liberty News Radio. He syndicates, I don't know how many, 30, 40, 50 shows on Liberty News Radio, and we are one of them, and he's one of our dear friends, and he cuts us a lot of slack. You hear how hot we get here on this radio station. There's probably not another syndicator in the world that would let us say what we say on this. But anyway, I think it's a great thing. But anyway, Jim, go back to what you were talking about before we had that quick break.
Well, I was asked the question about the gas chambers. There were no gas chambers, and they can say whatever they want. The United States was the only one that had gas chambers, and the gas chambers are only made for one person. Okay, it's impossible to make a gas chamber to gas. I'm not saying it's impossible, but with the German technology in those buildings, which weren't any technology, it's impossible to use those buildings to gas any people in those buildings. It's been proven because of the fact that Fred Lucher, and you had him on your show, he went there, he examined these buildings to find out if there was any Zyklon B gas in these buildings, and they found out there was none in the buildings they say were used as gas chambers. So it's impossible to use these buildings as they were used to kill people, okay? But they want you to believe it, and they keep pressing it and pressing it and saying it and saying, and again, you say something enough times, people are going to believe it. Nobody questions them. We don't have any way we can talk to people about it because, as the question was brought out, they ban us in countries to talk about these topics. In Germany, you can go to jail if you talk about this. Why do they do that? Because they know they lost the battle in regards to the truth. So what they have to do is they may have to make draconian laws that put you in jail for questioning the Holocaust tale. And that's why they do it, because they know they can't refute us. And if the facts come out, people are going to expose, it's going to expose their lies, and there's too much money involved here.
Well, thank you so much, we'll go right back to you. We'll go right back to Gene. We'll come back. I'm not sure Gene has a few questions. In fact, he asked a question a minute ago. I can't exactly remember what it was, but I know Gene remember. People, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Dear Blood River Radio family, unfortunately, this is the last segment. This segment, man, this is one of the fastest ones we've had. We've had a lot of fast ones. But anyway, we're going to roll right back to Jim. I'm going to ask Jim a question. Now, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I right when I say that it was found out that General Eisenhower, that goofball, like you said, and he's worse than that, you know, his mother was a Jew. In fact, in his yearbook at West Point, his nickname was the Swedish Jew. But anyway, he hated Germans. God, he hated Germans with a purple passion times 10. Now, Fred Leutcher, I think he said that General Eisenhower is the one that had that death camp built just as a propaganda tool. Am I right or wrong? That I just dreamed that up.
Well, Dachau was already there. Eisenhower was probably responsible for the gas chamber. They claim they built this gas chamber at the end. Okay, to say it was a gas chamber, but there was no gas chamber there. So in other words, Eisenhower might have had something to do with that, but he didn't build Dachau. Dachau was a camp that held prisoners. Okay, and at the end of the war, they built a room that looked, they made it look like a gas chamber because they wanted to make it look like they had gas chamber in the camp. But there was no gas chamber in that camp.
Thank you so much, Jim. How about you, Gene? Got anything to add to that?
Sounds like it was an eighth grade shop project. Just throw this building together out there and we'll call it a gas chamber. So,
right. Right. Well, again, you got to understand, people that don't understand what it takes to gas and kill somebody in a gas chamber. It's a very involved process. The United States was the only ones that had gas chambers. Germany didn't have any gas chambers. And the rooms that they say were used could not have been used as gas chambers. They didn't have fans. They didn't have heaters. I mean, they didn't have vents. You have to have a 40-foot stack on top of the building to vent the stack out. I mean, the stack has to be on top, so the Zyklon B gas has to be vented out. There was none of this in any of these buildings. Just look at the buildings. Fred Lucha did. He looked at all the buildings. He did all the research. He's found out all this stuff. But the point is, they don't want to accept his findings because his findings exposed the whole scam. That's all this is. It's a big scam. And they keep saying, oh, my father was gassed. My mother was gassed. Everybody was gassed. I mean, come on. I mean, there was no gas chambers. People died. We have no problem. People died. Sure, they died of typhus and sickness and diseases. They were put in crematoria. They get all confused. They confuse crematoria with gas chambers. Everybody don't know where they're coming or going with what was going on there. And that's what happened here. This was just a lot of different things, people seeing different things, believe in different things, but not really knowing and understanding what really happened. Oh, my father went to the left. He went to the right. I never saw him again. Well, what do you think happened to him? Well, did you ever think he could have been shipped to another camp? Did you think he ever could have been shipped to Russia? He could have been shipped someplace where we don't know where he was shipped. He could have died. But no, they want you to think they died in a gas chamber because that's the story. So everybody has a gas chamber story. Oh, well, my parents were gassed in Dachau. Well, you wouldn't have been gassed in Dachau. That was a prisoner camp. In Auschwitz. There's so many facets to the story that they have all screwed up, but nobody knows the truth. What we have to do, we got to get an independent research group to go there, okay? Open-minded people to investigate. Well, the buildings, a lot of them are all torn down now anyway. But this is what had to happen, but it didn't happen because they didn't want it to happen. That's why they tore the buildings down. Okay? The buildings were, a lot of people think the Germans blew the buildings up. I don't believe that at all. I believe that the buildings were blown up by the Russians. The Russians took out, you got to understand something about Auschwitz. The Americans didn't get into Auschwitz. Oh, the Russians took over the camp. The Americans did get into Auschwitz till 10 years later. The Russians took the camp, made it the way they wanted to make it. They believed, they wanted to, spin the story that there were gas chambers. The Germans were gassing people. So they made the camp. They took Crema 1 in Auschwitz Camp 1. They put a chimney on it, and they made it look like it was a gas chamber. That's what they did. They put holes in the roof. Oh, we threw in the Zyklon B in the holes in the roof. It doesn't work that way. Zyklon B, you can't just throw Zyklon B pellets on the floor and it just poofs. I mean, what are you, out of your mind? I mean, you might as well just get a can of bug spray. I mean, it doesn't work that way. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's so nonsensical. I mean, I just can't believe that people can even go along with this and not question it. You can't think about it. The pellets in a can they use for fumigation. They have a special machine that uses Zyklon B pellets. It goes in a machine. It has a heater in it, has a blower in it, and it blows the air across the pellets that go onto the clothing. That wasn't in those rooms. How do you expect Zyklon? You're going to throw it on a cold room? I mean, Zyklon B has to work at 80 degrees. You have to have a warm room to be heated up. Okay, so you put the Zyklon B pellets on the floor, and you think they go poof, and then you get gas in the room? Zyklon B is a slow-acting fumigant. It off-gasses 10% an hour. 10% an hour. So you're telling me you can kill 3,000 people in a room with using 10% of the product? It doesn't work that way. To fumigate a building takes a day or two. A day or two to fumigate a building. And you think you're going to kill 3,000 people in a room using 10% of the gas? Doesn't work that way. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, because they say they were killed in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I mean, really? I mean, I could see if you said they were in the room for 3 days, maybe you could, something could happen. But I mean, really, 10 minutes? Oh, 10 minutes. And then they cleaned the whole room out and the next gassing of people came in. What are you, out of your mind? What do you think? People are waiting in line. What are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to get gassed. I'm waiting out line. I'm waiting out line with my soap and my. I'm just waiting to be gassed. This is what we do here. We Jews are stupid. We're gonna walk in a room and get gassed. I mean, what are you, out of your mind? I mean, what do they think? We're stupid to believe this nonsense. And then you got 3,000 dead bodies in a room, and you think you're gonna clear them out in an hour? You know how long it would take to get 3,000 dead bodies out of a room and then bring them up into the crematoria? I mean, it would take a week or 2 weeks. I mean, probably longer. I mean, and then you got to cremate them. It takes an hour to cremate one body. 1 hour to cremate one body. That's 3,000 hours just to cremate 3,000 bodies. I mean, that's a lot of bodies to cremate. And then you think you got the next batch of people coming in to get gas waiting at the door? I mean, come on, 25,000 people a day, they claim were gassed a day. 25,000 a day. I mean, people don't understand how stupid this is, but people believe it. Oh, I believe that, yeah, people were gassed. Do you understand? You can't, the crematoria, you could only cremate 2,000 bodies until it had to be rebuilt. 2,000 bodies, and then the crematory had to be rebuilt. And you're claiming, you know, a million people were put in those crematoria. I mean, they never were rebuilt. So that means that they never, ever went over 2,000 bodies. I mean, am I missing something here? You know, crematoria, they dissolve when you use them. You know, the fire brick, it falls apart. They break off, and they get overheated. You can't use them after 2,000, 3,000 bodies. And you claim that, you know, you could cremate 10,000 bodies in one crematoria in a week? What are you, out of your minds? There's so many things wrong with the story. But nobody sits down and just examines it and says, how was this done? How did this happen? So the gassing story is wrong, and the crematoria story is wrong. The whole... At the most in the camps, there was maybe 150,000 bodies cremated in all the 50 crematoria. And that makes more sense, doesn't it? Because that equals to about 3,000 bodies. And that's how many people were cremated. They got those facts. They know that. But they don't want to tell you that. You know, they want you to think 25,000 people were cremated in one crematoria.
25,000 an hour.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just so nonsensical. But if you just sit down, again, not many people are looking into it. They don't investigate it. But like I said, you know, I investigate. I've been looking into this for 20 years. I read everything about it. I look at all their information. I hear their stories. I read what they say. I see what they say. You know, I mean, I'm saying, no, that's impossible. You can't do that. Crematory doesn't work that way. You can only cremate a body one body an hour. You could, if you had 50 crematoria, which they all weren't working. So even if you had 40 of them working all at once, I mean, really, 800 people a day, really, that's it. 800 people a day. And then in a week, you got to rebuild it. You got to rebuild the crematoria, right? Within a week or two, because you've already exhausted.
You made two really good points.
I mean, I'm just
saying. You made two real good points, Jim.
But he's making points based on factual information. And the reason they keep this Holocaust thing going is they know that people like Jim can't be allowed on public television or, you know, a large-scale platform because it'd blow this whole thing up. So they have to threaten anybody, like a history professor in college or high school teacher or somebody that brings this up and says, look, we're not saying we're against the Jews or anything like that. We're just saying this story is a fake. And that's a fake because of this information. Oh, boy, that tore it right there. That person is going to be on the unemployment list next week. Guaranteed that.
See, I just want to say, I don't deny people died. People died. I told you that. Jews died. There's no doubt about it. But the Holocaust story from the Jewish perspective, the Hollywood Jewish perspective, is wrong. It's a lie. It didn't happen the way they say it happened. Things happen, but not the way they say it happened. That's all I'm saying. Okay? And I can sit down. I'll sit down with anybody out there, and I'll sit down with a person, and I'll explain to me how a crematorium can cremate 5,000 bodies when it can only do 2,000 or 3,000 and it has to be rebuilt. I mean, that's the law. That's the way they work. Okay, like a car engine. You can't go, you know, 600 million miles on a car engine. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. I mean, these people don't understand logistics. They don't understand common sense science and how things work.
Well, you know, Jim, we're totally out of time. Really quickly, do you think that we will ever educate at least 50% of the American people about the Holocaust?
No. I don't think so, but we try. I keep trying. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. Thank you so much, Gene. We got to bring you two guys back
in. He answered a lot of great questions. He did a superb job. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
A treasure,
thank you.
Jim.
Nice
You're
meeting
a national
you.
Treasure. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience. What a hell of a show this was. God willing, we'll see you the 22nd, 1 week from today. So be here or be there. God bless you. Good night, everybody.